got to jump in with both feet here at this thing. I just got to jump in. That's all it is. It's the news. Great. Hey, it is Thursday, May 21st, 7.05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, I just got to jump right into this whole thing. I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. I got a lot going on. I set my timer, actually, on my watch so I could make sure I don't overrun and get lost here in the show because a lot of things going on, a lot of things we could talk about, but we're not going to. Because I just don't have time. We have a tomorrow's show. I thought tomorrow morning I was going to be in D.C. I'm actually not going to be in D.C. tomorrow morning. I'm going to be in tomorrow, early tomorrow morning. I'm going to be in, where is it? I think it's Charleston, West Virginia. Is that where I'm at? I got to find out. I got to make sure I get I'm down with where I'm going. I think... Actually, I can just find out here real quick. Airport, CA. Let's see where that is. That is Columbia Metro. Columbia, South Carolina. That makes more sense. All right, well, that's where I'm going to be. Columbia, South Carolina. So I will be there early tomorrow morning. I'll be there actually this evening. And then early tomorrow morning, head out of there, do some flying around somewhere. And then I end up in D.C. by noon. That's where I end up going. That's where I'm going to end up being. Then I'm there till Saturday afternoon. So I will be down. I'm planning on going downtown tomorrow in the afternoon. If I could do a live show from downtown, that would be kind of fun. Do it. Maybe go down and see what's going on with the pond, the reflection pond. I might get some video of that to play on the Rumble channel. Maybe we'll see what happens. I might do that next. I might play the video next week's show or something. I don't know. Who knows if I can figure out Rumble. I think by next week I'll have some things straightened out. I've been experimenting with some things for the show, and we're going to be talking about that during the show today. That's what's coming up. But basically, going to be talking about a lot of things politically, some of the special elections that have been going on, some of the other things that have been happening. We're going to kind of go from there on. But we have I wonder what happened there with my. When I first started this show. Well, anyway, we have. In my cup, we have chai with my coconut cream creamer. And we have a backup cup here. Now, this is kind of an interesting blend. It's my own home peach tea, but it's also got a little bit of, Chick-fil-A sweet tea that has a little bit of peach nectar in it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. It's kind of a combination in my backup cup there with the iced tea. There's no ice in my tea, though, so it's not really iced tea. It's just tea, just cold tea. It's not really iced tea. Oh, I forgot to push the start button on there. Oh, there we go. That's what the problem is. All right, it seems to be working now. So I guess the backup cup going on. We have a lot to get into, so we're just going to jump right into it. In the meantime, we're going to play this little ditty, and we're going to start into the show here.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news. Yeah.
According to me,
hey, it's the news.
The news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Here we are. So we're going to ease into it here this morning. I'm going to talk a little bit about show prep. I have a few things going on with show prep. As some of you know who've listened to the show before, you will know, you're the people who are in the know, you are fully aware that I have, what happened there? Interesting. You fully well know that I have a lot of things going on with the agentic world here. We have some things happening with the AI in the background happening here. We have a little call-in show thing going on. Well, there are a bunch of people watch that show. That's interesting. So we have all this this agentic thing happening. It's an AI model thing happening for this podcast caller app I've been working on. And it's in the background right now. It is being worked. I'm trying to get it on what's called Amazon Web Services platform, which has become much more complicated than it used to be. It's this time through, it's been causing some issues. It's not happening really easy. I mean, it's unfortunately I never really had anything on there, and now that I'm finally putting something on there to make a real app, it's becoming they've actually changed some of their terms of service and everything else they've changed, and they're making it extremely difficult to just even just to log in. It's you've heard about two-factor authentication. Well, they call it two-factor, but it's really four-factor because you got to do two things twice. I think that they understanding the math on that, two times two is four, and I don't think they realize what they're doing a lot. Anyway, in the background right now, I'm working on this app. Unfortunately, I can't take this with me, and there's no way I can control it when I'm away. And a lot of things have to have my permission. So for the next 4 days, this thing's going to sit here on the desk. It's going to do nothing. I've got to figure out some things in the background. My dispatch can't touch anything that's happening with Claude Code, which is really, really bizarre. That's the phone app that I can use to contact my... Now, the dispatch can do all kinds of things on my computer. But what I'm finding is that there's a lot of hype out there about some of these agentic models, and some of them work awesome, some of them don't. I've got one right now that is called Hermes that runs... his name's Odie. He runs on a computer... That is all by itself. It's its own identity. It's its own thing. I have nothing connected to it personally. And he just it runs. But even with the lid closed, as long as he can get an internet connection, I can email him. I can text him. And it's really an it. I'm calling it a him, but it's an it. I can text that machine, and it will do stuff. It can go to web browsers. Now, it doesn't do a good job of that kind of thing. It has a hard time finding things and clicking on things and doing things. But it does it. At least it tries to get it done. In fact, I had five episodes of the show. This is why I'm telling you all this. I had five episodes of the show. Now, I've got one on my regular computer. It's called Open Human. It's supposed to be more of a thinking model. And it's got all kinds of connections. You can connect it all kinds of apps. However, I'm finding more and more every time I ask it to do something. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's every time I ask it to do something, it's I can't do that. If I had an employee that was that way, I would fire him. I'd be looking at someone else. Or if I had if I was a customer of someone who was providing a service, I would say, sorry, your services are no longer required here. It's been frustrating. Every time I've asked it to do something, it struggles with getting it done. It either can't get enough tokens to work something out. All night long, it was saying it was working on something, and I checked on it this morning as well. That's still have token issues. It's going to eat up a lot of tokens if I do that. Okay, then just don't do it. I just forget it. It's quite frustrating. So I ended up now the Hermes agent. Totally different deal. I don't even have to open the computer. I just text it with something. Say, here's five files. See if you can. I need to have them transcribed. And the reason I need transcribes from it is that I need all the text from that. And I could do it. I actually have the transcripts here in my app. It actually transcribes everything. But I have to hit the save button in order to keep that. I think there might actually be a log. I probably should look at that and see if there actually is. I believe there is. But there it is. There's the logs right there. Audio cache right there. It's all there. However, it doesn't have, oh, it's not transcribed. It's all audio sessions. Yeah, there's nothing actually in the transcriptions. So anyway, I have this app that, or I have this agent that was going to do that for me, set it up to do it. And sure enough, it figured out how to do it. It went and got the software and went out online. It went and found the right place to go to get the right plug-in to make it work. And the next thing you know, I've got four of the five are done now. I think the last one's finishing up. It was bumping up against token use as well, but that's to be expected. But at least I got four of them done. Now, the reason I'm doing that is because I need the transcriptions, because what I'm going to do is the agent. It's probably going to be the Hermes agent. Actually, I haven't used OpenClaw yet. I've been thinking about that. I've got another machine to put an OpenClaw agent on. It was quite a process getting the other one on. I think I'm going to do a little different story with that, with the new one. But eventually, there's going to be sub agents, and I might just have Hermes running this sub agents with, and some of the sub agents might be Hermes. I was hoping that OpenHuman was going to be able to be kind of it's a little bit more of a docile system with a little nicer interface. The problem is it doesn't do much, which is kind of good because I have it on my personal computer. So it has access to more things, not everything, but some things on my computer. It can't browse the web. It can't do a lot of things, but it can find files and organize things, which is kind of nice. But that's not really what I needed it for. So, I just got an email. It's not, the files aren't connected though. Okay. Well, it didn't do exactly like I said to do. It sent me an email saying that they're all done. All five of them are done. So the agent just sent me an email, said that all five are done. You know, here's the TNA to me podcast transcripts, episodes, 1172 to 1177. May 12th, and it's all five episodes have been transcribed and combined into one plain text document. The file is also saved on your desktop, ready for your next project when you are. Now, that is, so it's saved in a Google document. However, I don't have access to that document at the moment. I will have to figure that out. But I'm going to have it email me the document. That's what I meant for it to do. It didn't do that. It just sent me an email. I probably typed something in wrong. So I'm going to send it back a reply and let it know that I need that. It can attach the document to the email and send it to me. Anyway, it's got its own email. It's got its own identity in Google. It's got the whole thing. So it works extremely well. I've been extremely shocked at how well it works. So that's the fun side of that. Now, what it's going to do with that information is it's going to, I experimented with this a little bit with another system, but I'm going to have it do show prep, and the show prep it's going to do is specifically for the podcast caller. So like tomorrow morning, all of the callers, when I have the callers call in, now tomorrow's show is going to be in the afternoon. It's not going to be in the morning because I'm going to be too busy to get that done, unless I have a chance to do it this evening. I might actually put the show, record the show tonight, because it's Financial Friday. I might be talking about, I'm not going to be talking about necessarily up-to-date, at-the-minute news. I'll be talking mostly about financial stuff. So I might do the show tonight and have it posted tomorrow morning. We'll see how that works out if I have time tonight. Kind of depends on what I end up, how early I end up getting in. So we're going to do that, and then what it's going to do is it's going to provide me with basically cut, copy, and paste stuff for all of the agents that are calling in. So I'm going to do my best to not even read it. I'm just going to copy and paste it right in. And so when I play it, I have no idea what they're going to ask me. Now tomorrow's stuff's going to be all about financial stuff. So it's going to be, they may be asking me questions I have no idea anything about. Now eventually, this will be used on the app itself. I'll also have, you know, I'll be able to provide people with show prep. It's going to be part of one of the plugins that they can get. If they have a show about something specific, I can get, they can have the little agentic callers can have backup information. We'll just have an agent that does that for people. So it's kind of a fun little thing. It'll go out and grab. So it'll be up-to-date information for tomorrow. But yes, basically tomorrow's information for those guys who was actually prepared today. Now, I had didn't have anything prepared for today's show, but I have this. The whole show prep thing is going to be done for tomorrow. It's got some articles and stuff in there. So it's interesting because I tried to create an app for that. I tried to build an app that would do it, and I tried everything. I tried Gemini. Gemini has been a little bit of a disappointment to me lately. ChatGPT has come through in a lot of ways, and yet it tries pretty hard. Sometimes it doesn't do so well. Claude does a pretty good job typically, but there are some limitations there as well. It's become a little bit complicated. There's also some things that, of course, happen with Grok and some other things that they all kind of have their specialties, but they're all kind of, you never know what you're going to, kind of like a box of chocolates. Never know what you're going to get. So it's been kind of an interesting thing. Just kind of wanted to get into that a little bit. So let's really take a sip here. We're going to hit the button and see what kind of callers we have today. We're going to start off with Elena. I'm going to go in reverse order today. We're going to kind of call in, see what she has to say. See if she even works this morning. I guess she's getting ready to speak.
Hello again, yep. Kevin.
Oh, yes.
And again, I'm your favorite historian calling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So historically speaking, I'm wondering how this midterm election is going to play out.
Well, that's a good
question.
What
are your thoughts on what's happening on the right now with the apparent push on the primaries
happening
and some
the
of
right
the special
now.
Elections happening around the country?
Yeah. Well, apparently I typed some things in there wrong. Some interesting things have happened. This Massey thing. Now, I know he's more of a, he considers himself libertarian, but he does vote along with Republicans most of the time. However, apparently, I've heard some other stories about the guy and some of the weird things that have happened with him in the last year. And I know he did lose his wife, I think, a little over a year ago. But she passed away from something. I think she had something happen. He does have some weird ideas, and this is typical of people in the Libertarian Party. Now, I don't think he's a Libertarian Party candidate. I don't know if he was. I think he ran as a Republican. I'm not sure, but he might have ran as a Libertarian. I don't know. But the Libertarian Party in general is a little screwy. Now, that was a pretty big upset, in my opinion, because it was still questionable in the evening whether or not how it was going to come out. There were still people saying that Massey could win. He got handily beat. I still don't know what the percentages are, but I just everything I've heard has said sounds like he was pretty decisively beaten. Now, this is happening in some other primary races. I've only heard snippets of what's going on. Maybe you have as a historian, you can tell us more about what happened in the last 48 hours, 72 hours. Apparently, there has been more upsets, and there is this bigger wave of MAGA happening in the country than what I would have suspected, especially with the way the news, of course, the news is always, the day after the election, everybody hates Trump. Everybody hates Trump. He's already unpopular. That's just all you hear because that's the way they want it to be. They're trying to wag the dog kind of thing. It's this deal where they try to create the narrative and make everybody believe that they're on the outside. If they're a Trump supporter, they're in the minority. And I know it's not the case in the Republican Party. The Republican Party, not like 90-some percent, he's got 90-some percent approval within the Republican Party. So it's kind of a weird deal. But I don't know what all the other races that have been around the world, around the country. But I do know that it sounds like we're getting ready for possibly one of the strongest turnouts from the Republican candidate, for Republican candidates and party voters that we've seen in a long time. This could be one of those deals where it's definitely not going to be a blue wave. And it's very possible that they're talking like they could actually make some gains in the House. Now, that's not to say that we should sit back and, just expect that and not get out and vote. We'll still need to get out and vote. But it's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens. There's just a whole lot of, I think there's a whole lot of discontent and, just with the Democrat Party in general. You're starting to hear more people come out speaking, but very, very vocal about what's happening with the party. I don't know if that's been your experience or not, but that's...
Hi there.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
I think
what we're seeing right now reminds me a lot of 2016, when the media kept insisting one narrative while grassroots energy was telling a completely different story on the ground.
Yeah.
The disconnect between what the establishment predicted and what actually happened in those recent primaries suggests we might be looking at a genuine realignment, not just typical election noise.
Yeah, I think that is the case. You were talking about 2016, is that what you're talking about? Well, this thing seems like it's, I see what it did. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was 2016 was a kind of a shocker. I think that people are just, and I think that's what's happening. I think with this whole thing with Spencer Pratt is he's not an establishment guy. And I think that's what people are more refreshed by. You know, all the media is saying, all the people in the View and everybody else is talking about this. And I'll ask you about this because you're obviously a female machine. They keep talking about how Spencer Pratt is unqualified because he has no governance experience. Well, where are you supposed to get governance experience? He's not running for president. He's running for mayor. You know, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to start off as dog catcher and work your way up. I don't understand you're a representative. You're not a king. You're not somebody who has to have an education in political science in order to be a representative. I don't get that. A lot of this stuff is common sense. A lot of stuff is already in place. You just step into office and you start to, you know, direct things and run things, and you have ideas, and you're kind of the. And the city council, by the way, runs more than the mayor typically does. The mayor has a lot of power, but it's not to get things done. But it's not the same thing as the council and everybody else that he has to steer in the right direction. He's more of a leader with respect to getting people on board with a vision and all that kind of thing, and trying to get things changed and accomplished. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In many cases, like if a Republican mayor stepped into Chicago right now, you would have a really hard time unless you had a Republican city board, because you're constantly up against that. And then you also have state funding issue. Now, Mamdani found that out real fast, that he can't just do what he wants to do in New York City. He's got to have some state approval on some things. He's got to have state funding. He's got to have all this stuff has to come through. And if the governor's not up to that, then he's not going to get it. And I think that's what you run into and some of these things, but I think that people are, first of all, the people who are in the establishment doing their thing, they're the problem. They're the ones that cause these problems. Now they're telling us, I just need a few more years and I'll get this fixed. Well, you're the one who caused the problem. So how are you going to fix it? This has happened so many times in my lifetime. All the things that have happened, probably the best example of this was in a union. I was in a union. This guy was, we were in negotiations with the company. Well, they had royally messed up the last contract thing that they had done. And in my opinion, the group should have probably sued the union, in my opinion, the labor group. They didn't. They sued the company, and the union sued the company. But it was then they won. But they we didn't get anything hardly at all. And the lawyers did. They got plenty. But the thing that made it really sad was that the people who were in charge of the union at that time, they wanted to stay in charge of it, of course, because they get all kinds of perks being there. And what ended up happening was, They convinced everyone that, I need to stay in this office because I'm the one with all the experience. And right now we're in this delicate negotiation. This is a very important time, and these negotiations are very important. And I need to be the guy who's here. I'm the one with all the experience doing negotiations. I need to stay here, stay in this office. And of course, my argument was, it was all your experience that got us in this position. We couldn't have done, a person with no experience couldn't have done any worse. So now you expect us to keep you there because you have all the experience. Your experience got us here. I expect that your experience is going to somehow get us out of this now. I just, that never made sense to me. And of course, that put me in bad standing with the union. They didn't like me. Union heads didn't like me too much. Just put it that way. At that particular company. So it was because I was always pushing back pretty hard on some things that they were saying. So that's just a smattering of ideas. I don't know what you think about that. I don't have a whole lot of time, I guess, but what do you think? I don't know. I'll give you a second chance to respond.
Your union story is exactly what we're seeing play out in politics right now.
Really?
The people who created the mess claiming they're the only ones who can fix it, which is historically backwards.
Yeah.
You're right that a mayor isn't a king. And honestly, some of the most effective municipal leaders came in as outsiders who just applied common sense rather than relying on decades of failed bureaucratic playbooks.
Yeah.
The real constraint, like you pointed out with New York, is that city leadership gets strangled by state-level politics and funding.
Yeah.
So blaming any single mayor for systemic failures is frankly disingenuous.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, you know, it kind of goes both ways. It's a symbiotic relationship, really, with them. And so you have to kind of look at the whole picture, which is always kind of interesting. But in the sake of time, I'm going to move on here. Let's see if we can find...
Good morning to you, Kevin.
I'm sure
you were going to talk about this today, but what's up with the funding of over $1 billion for the Trump allies thing?
Have you
looked into it at all? A lot of people on both sides are upset about it. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it's like, is it like $1.7 billion or something like that, or $1.2 billion? I can't remember what it is. Whole bunch of money. It's over $1 billion. There's funding that has gone out to this fund for the Trump allies. Now, it's mostly about January Sixers. Some of the people who were wrongly accused of things, and they've looked into a lot of things that have happened behind the scenes, and a lot of things that people were persecuted for supporting Trump, or just for supposedly political activities, which were bogus charges. A lot of it were bogus charges. A lot of people were financially hurt pretty badly. So he put up this fund. Now, some people are saying it's just a slush fund. There's all kinds of things out there saying all kinds of things about this. I don't know what to think about it. I think that there needs to be a lot of oversight, first of all. I think there needs to be a huge amount of accountability to whatever's going on there. Because I know that it could become, could very easily become a slush fund or something like, you know, something that's weird that happens there. But I don't know what happened here. Oh, there. Full press. Prince Young talks about the news White House. Full press. See if anything pops up here. You know, Obama appears to criticize Trump in interview. I don't see anything that's new in there. 2024 Democratic. Interesting. I don't see anything that's actually helpful in any of that. Trying to crash a few UPS flight. This is the NTSB came back with a hearing about the UPS flight 2976. That's the one that happened, the crash down in on the takeoff. They lost their engine. It'll be interesting to see what he does with that. I still don't know. I don't know enough about it right now to really make a decision on what's happening. I just think there needs to be a lot of accountability and a lot of oversight, and maybe hopefully there's an inspector general over that. To watch the funding. I just know that I'm not opposed to it per se, because there were a lot of very, I would say malicious prosecutions, and they were politically motivated. Some of the stuff, people who just simply, you know, they walked up to the White House, the doors were open, they walked in and walked back out, didn't do anything. And they got arrested for that. There were other people who were there who supposedly were, they claimed to be reporters later on, but they come to find out they were on the left. They were there protesting the Trump event, And they were the ones that got away with it. They walked away scot-free. So that tells you something. You know, they got investigated and there were no charges were ever brought on them. That's the kind of thing that bothers me when those kinds of things happen. So I think that's kind of where I fall with it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that they're getting some kind of compensation. At the same time, I don't know, you know.
I've been looking into this fund structure, and technically speaking, the accountability concern you're raising is dead on. Uh-huh. There's got to be real third-party oversight, or this absolutely could become a vehicle for political favors instead of actual restitution. What bothers me most is the dual standard you mentioned with the investigations. If you've got prosecutors who went after people for trespassing while ignoring documented activist involvement from the other side, that's not justice, that's selective enforcement, and that's exactly what should trigger an inspector general review before this thing gets rolling.
Yeah, I think there might be some confusion about what I was saying, but the in general, yes, I think you're right. I think it's, I need to keep moving here because I'm getting behind on my time, but... I'd like to keep talking to you there already. I just can't. I got to Skip in here and see what he wants to say. What do you say, Skip? What's your question today?
Hey, now hold on there, Mr. Kevin. I'm curious about what's going on in Iran. It sounds like they're close to an agreement, but at the same time, they're still talking about having boots on the ground. So which is it? Is this thing ever going to end? I'm not so sure we're getting all the information.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about Iran, of course. It's interesting. I guess we were like, according to Trump, we were hour away from Iran getting bombed at daylights out of the, which we've already done. I don't know what more there is to bomb. They're staying away from civilian targets. Supposedly the last word I don't know if it was an official report or if it was just a hearsay report or what it was. This it came from a military channel on YouTube. This guy was pretty good with his analysis. He said that, apparently, Delta Force is being told to go in and try to get out some of the enriched uranium that's in the that's in Iran right now. The problem is they just can't have it. They would like to come to an agreement where we can just boots on the ground, walk in and either supervise it being removed or remove it. You know, somebody has to remove it. If they're not going to, you know, just remove it themselves. Now they're claiming it's all buried under rubble. We can't get to it. Well, maybe not. If the Delta Force can go in and get it, if they know where it's at, they must know where it's at. Cause they're not going to send the forces in without knowing where it's at. That's just plain and simple. That's the way that typically works. So we'll see how it happens. If we get it out of there, then they don't have much more to, you know, to negotiate anymore after that. The straits, of course, are they're open for all intents and purposes. And it's intensive purposes. So we'll see. I don't know. That's all I've heard about it. It's everything at this point's all rumor. And of course, we're getting is, you know, reports from either side that who knows. I don't know. I know Iran lies.
Look, I can't remember a time when we got reliable intelligence from YouTube channels, and now this is interesting. You're talking about Delta Force operations based on hearsay? I'd want to see some real confirmation before I'm buying that story. The uranium situation is serious business, but boots on the ground in Iran is a whole different ballgame than some covert extraction, and that's what should worry us here.
Yeah, it sounded... you might have. Did you eat tacos last night? I want you to jump. You kind of sound like you have a little problem there behind them. Almost sound like something. I almost had an Eric Swalwell incident there. We have. And this is it. Just it. You're not going to hear about what Delta Force does. That everything you hear about Delta Force is all hearsay. They don't embed reporters with Delta Force. Let's put it that way. It doesn't happen. In fact, they denied that Delta Force even existed for a long time. So anybody that, you know, has any kind of background with the military stuff is going to know this kind of thing much, much better than anybody else. And there's a whole lot of credible news on YouTube, by the way, I know you're a skeptic, but it's not bad to be skeptical. Don't get me wrong. It's just there is a lot more credibility there sometimes from the independent news networks than there is from legacy media. That's for sure. But yeah, that's kind of my take on it. I don't know what your hopefully it helps you understand my point.
You're right that Delta Force stuff stays classified for a reason, and yeah, there's some solid analysis out there if you know where to look. But my point is, we're flying blind on half this Iran situation, and that's dangerous. Being skeptical doesn't mean dismissing everything. It means asking who's got skin in the game and what they're really after before we start cheering on another military adventure.
Yeah, and I, you know, to your point, I agree. But I think the bigger picture is, and this happens every time there's a high profile legal case in the country or anything that happens. We need to know what's going on. Oh, I see what kind of evidence comes out. Well, this all you're talking about is the court of public opinion here. This is, and at the end of the day, that doesn't matter other than just, you know, social activity, the person's social life from here on in. What really matters is what's the evidence saying. How is this going to play out in court? Because and we're not we don't necessarily have to be privy to all the evidence. We're not deciding the case. We're not on the jury. Now you have a situation like O.J. Simpson where the jury didn't matter what the evidence was. They were not going to vote against the black man. And that was the bottom line. Now they're finally kind of come out and admitting that, some of the jurors that were there. So it's just a normally, you know, the jury tries to do what's right. And what's just, and typically that's the way it's supposed to operate, supposed to way it work that way. It's not supposed to be based on favoritism or anybody's, it's supposed to be look at the law. It's much like the way the Supreme Court is supposed to operate. They're just supposed to look at the law, interpret the law, see if it's constitutional or not, and then make a ruling. They're not supposed to legislate from the bench. What's his name? John Roberts or whatever. He did that over Obamacare. He decided what it was. He changed it, in fact, basically is what he did. As a tax, it is fine. That's basically what he did. He didn't, and yet that's not what it was being presented as. So it was, they had all this doublespeak. They presented it as two different things in the House and the Senate. So it was this weird. And then when it got before the Supreme Court, then the Supreme Court decided what it was, because that's what John Roberts decided it was. He knew it was such a popular piece of legislation that he didn't want to be the guy who nixed it, poo-pooed it. So they weaseled around it, which almost seems kind of a little bit shady to me. It almost rings of, now, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm just my opinions. It seemed like there was almost an air of manipulation of him there somehow. Somebody was manipulating him. I don't know. Just saying. Seemed awfully strange. Now, having said that, he's also wishy-washy on a lot of other things, so it could just be that he's wishy-washy. Nobody else had an effect on him. He's just wishy-washy guy. So that's what I'm saying. It's got all kind of interesting in that respect. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time. Like I said, I don't have a lot of time. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get on with what we're doing. But I do want to play. I don't know if I'm gonna play anything. I just don't have time. I gotta get moving. I have. We'll do this, and we'll talk about what's gonna be on tomorrow's show. So tomorrow's show will have us probably tomorrow afternoon, unless I can do the show tonight, but it's going to be Financial Friday tomorrow. We're going to be talking about some things. Hopefully the AI agents will work. I've got them on the other computer, on the other laptop. It seems to be working fine with that one. And we'll see if we can get that one up and running. If not, I will tell the AI to fix it and it will just do it. That computer in particular works pretty well on that thing. And we'll be able to get some of the things happening with the agents and stuff like that. The podcaster app, podcast caller app. We'll have to just wait to be actually fully functioning online. Probably going to be done next week, I would think, at the end of next week. It just has to, you know, there's a lot of things you have to kind of sit there and babysit the thing as it's going through and click the permissions button all the time, which I shouldn't have to do. Now, if I had an agent on this computer that was able to do that, I wouldn't have to do that. But in the meantime, that was kind of weird. Start that over again. We have, so tomorrow's show may be recorded this evening, but if nothing else, it'll be recorded tomorrow afternoon, probably late in the day, just so those of you who are trying to expect what's happening. Talk about current events, some things happening financially in the world, as well as the country and the nation, and what's happening around the world financially. So we'll get into that. It will be Monday. Monday's show will be kind of a normal show on Monday. Getting kind of late on Sunday evening, but should be a normal show. Monday, Tuesday, probably Wednesday as well. Thursday's show might be coming to you from a remote location up in Michigan, probably from a boat, possibly. Got a lot going on that morning. Thursday's show. But in the meantime, hey, it's Shabbat. It's almost Shabbat Shalom time. It's almost the end of the week here already. Or almost the end of the month. So God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of the week, as we pull into the weekend. And I think that's all I'm going to say for now. Hope you enjoyed the show. Like, subscribe, we'll do all this stuff. God bless. Take care. See ya.